Not near good enough. Good morning. I greet you from this side. I've been planning this for a long time. I've been working on some ventriloquism, but my dummy didn't show up, and my wife said my lips still move. So continue to look over there on that side while I give you the announcements from this side. So, and that, no, actually, Pastor Cynthia contacted us early this morning, and she suddenly fell ill yesterday evening, continuation, I believe, of what she had had earlier on in the week and was just not feeling well or running a fever and everything. And so she did not think that she would be able to be here this morning. So we have prayers and thoughts going her way for healing to her today. So reminder to everybody to please fill out the friendship sheets at the end of the pew on the inside of the pew. Please fill those out. If you're new to the congregation, please provide us with some contact information so we can get a hold of you, because we'd like to welcome you back. We have a tremendous amount of announcements. This is a very busy week going on this week, so be sure and look at the blue sheet that is in here. Some quick reminders that our Monday-Thursday service will be this Thursday at 7:30. So not on Wednesday, but on Thursday, and it'll be at 7:30, and no soup supper. So eat your soup at home before you come to the Monday-Thursday in there. So that will be there, a chance for you to come and share communion on that night with the congregation. Also, we'll be having the prayer vigil on Saturday morning. It'll start at 6 a.m. The sign-up sheet is out on the bulletin board out there. The prayer vigil will be inside the sanctuary with the door closed. So if you're bringing kids to the Easter egg hunt that will be that morning, a perfect opportunity for you to come in and get some quiet and solace while kids full of sugar and screaming are going on outside. So sign up often and a chance to really have some great reflection time on there. Everything else I pretty much is here. The Easter egg hunt begins at 10 a.m. Easter Sunday, there will not be any chapel. The only service that day will be at the 10:10. And TED is the home builders meeting. Home builders class will not meet on Easter Sunday. So, okay, another reminder. The church is needing help with getting the lawn mowed and trimmed this summer. There is a sign-up sheet out there. Cal has went through and fix the riding lawnmower and the weed trimmer out there so it's all in workable shape. He told me he'd put a 454 fully blown Hemi engine into the lawnmower with some 36-inch tires and a Husqvarna chainsaw engine on the weed eater. So we should be done in no less than like 15, 20 minutes. And that. Actually, the way he explained it to me, which made a lot of sense, is it's going to cost us about $3,000 to have the lawn mowed and trimmed during the summertime. If we can do it, we can use that $3,000 for something else, maintenance on the church. And the way he explained it to me was like painting the sanctuary. So then he pinpointed that I would be up on this ladder towards the middle up here with a brush and a paint can, and I am not good with heights. So I'm getting out there to sign up on that list because I don't want to be up there on the heights on the ladder painting and holding a paintbrush. So if you can help out, find somebody else to do it. Cal assured me it should only take about 30, 45 minutes to do the yard on a weekly basis. So we would appreciate that. Other announcements before I get the quilters up? Yes, Carmen. At 6 o'clock Wednesday youth group, and it is not God and and life, but they'll prepare for the Easter egg hunt. Anything else? If not, at this time, I'll call the quilting group up because they have the best announcement of the morning. Okay, at this time, let us stand and greet one another before we sing our opening hymn, number 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Please join me in the call to worship. We open our eyes to see God's glory. We lift our hands to wave palms in praise.
We lift our voices to shout Hosanna.
We lift our hearts to honor Christ, the one lifted up on the cross.
We lift our lives to draw near to God, that the world may be lifted up.
Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to come on this Palm Sunday, also known as Passion Sunday. We praise and sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, and we know that you have sacrificed much for us. We ask you to give strength to each and every one of us as we go through our lives and to help those who are weak. We do this as we remember to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would please now turn in your hymnal to number 200. Our hymn of prayer this morning is What Wondrous Love Is This? And we'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
Oh,
At this time, if the children of the church would like to join Mrs. Grooms in the back there, they can head off to worship and wonder this morning. Our joys and prayer concerns this morning are vast, but I would like to start off this morning with some joys. So, good news to share. Marie Robertson is off of hospice care. She will continue to have round-the-clock home health care, but she is off hospice care. So that's good news. Bob Glasspool had a successful heart ablation. So that's good news for there. He had that done in Salt Lake City, and they were going to spend a couple of days in Salt Lake City before they travel back to Casper. So we're thankful for those joys. Do we have other joys to share? Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. I saw prom pictures on Facebook last night. That's got to be a joy to share. We saw beautiful ladies there from prom and everything else on there, so I'm going to call that a joy. Terry. Okay, so prayers of joy for Tiva as she has gotten out of the hospital. She's still on oxygen and IV therapy, is that right? Just steroids. So she continues to improve, so we continue to pray for healing on that. Mike.
Good to see Dan
Cooley here. Yep. It's nice to see you there, Dan. I was worried that I had given you the heart attack because Dan and I did the Lenten service and he started on Wednesday night and I told him he had to stop because Kathy was playing the prelude, and right after that he went to the hospital. So I thought, man, I put the pressure on him and he had a bad heart, but you're doing great now. And
I might elaborate on that. I appreciate all the concerns from the congregation over my health. There's been a lot of people come forward, and I even got a free rose from the church. But I spent 2 days in the hospital, and about all that came out of it, we found out that it is not my heart. But that leaves about a dozen other things it could be. They've got to be eliminated one by one, I guess, and there's more testing to come. But it comes and goes, but I think mainly it goes when I'm on pain pills. And I'm on pain pills this morning.
Okay. Any other joys? Our prayer concerns this morning. Our card shower is for Darlene McGirvin. She is recovering from pneumonia. She has been in the hospital now for just about a week, right, Paul? She is doing better in that, but she remains in the hospital while she tries to get over this. Yes. Oh, fantastic. So Darlene went home, so she'll continue, I'm sure, on antibiotics to keep her going on that deal, but joy that she got to get out of the hospital. We have sympathy to Donna Klinker today. Her son, Dr. Tim Klinker, passed away, and also to Susie Stewart, whose sister Jane died this week as well. We offer prayers of sympathy. Lorna Cook has been transferred to Life Care and will continue to be on antibiotics there as she continues to work herself away from this bacteria virus that she has. I think she's progressively getting a little bit better, but it's a slow process. So prayers for continued healing and comfort for her. Ron Bland, which was Lindy Bland's brother, Lindy was a longtime member here, was in the hospital this week with heart issues. Again, continue to pray for Pastor Cynthia as she struggles with either pneumonia or influenza. We don't know which yet. As soon as we know more, we'll pass it along to the congregation through the prayer chain. And a reminder to everybody, if you have prayers of concern or whatever, to contact Melanie Dowler. Randy Sue Davis is out of town, so graciously Melanie agreed to take over that job. Prayers for our missionary in Thailand, Ann Gregory. We also ask for prayers for those recovering from the tornadoes that have spread across the south and southeast and southwest part of the country, and prayers for the victims of the sarin gas attacks in Syria and the terrorist event in Stockholm, Sweden this week. There is a prayer sheet in the back of the sanctuary here for Paul Graham, who serves as president of the Servants United. This is the multi-group church, our multi-church group that will be leading the Holy Week services this week in downtown. We also ask for prayers for Carol Sage's grandson, Otto, who has been admitted into the hospital with pneumonia. So we ask for prayers of healing for that. Do we have other prayer concerns out there? Steve.
This morning on breaking news, there was two bombings in Egypt and churches on Sunday morning, killing 78 people and injuring over 100 in each church.
Okay. Carmen?
Dr. Miami Trick, this week at Travis, was going back to Denver for some testing and to get a new port replaced and all kinds of stuff for the employer. So, that meeting is on Friday. So, prayers for him for healing and comfort.
Okay. Prayers for Travis as he continues to struggle with liver cancer. Prayers for healing and comfort, also for prayers for the doctor for knowledge of treatment plan. Other prayer concerns? Oh, Rick? Okay, prayers for Dave Baker as he recuperates a little bit at home before having additional procedures to try and correct his illness. Any others? If not, let us lift our hearts to prayer at this time. O loving God, at this time, we know that the joy of this Sunday precedes the heartache and the pain and the suffering that Jesus suffered for our benefit. We know that he did this so that we can feel your love each and every day. We ask for continued healing for Darlene, for Dan, for Lorna, Otto. We ask for healing comfort for Travis as he goes and battles liver cancer. We ask for strength for Dave Baker as he fights off an infection and prepares for further hospital procedures. We ask for prayers of comfort and healing for Lorna Cook and for the transition to a different stage in life. We are grateful for the good news that we have received on Bob Glasspool and Marie Robertson. And we offer prayers of strength for Carol Sage's grandson, Otto, We ask for prayers of healing in the world as we see terrorist events in Stockholm, terrorist events in Syria, and in Egypt. We ask for prayers of strength, of healing, of coming together to stop these events. We ask you to guide us as we go forward in this week to spread the love and joy. We know that Pastor Cynthia is sick right now, and it becomes upon us to spread the word and the joy and the resurrection. So we ask you to guide us as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Communion this time of the year has always been quite an event for me. I can remember being part of the First Christian Church in Laramie. As Palm Sunday came, it was all about Easter, about preparing for it. We would have the sunrise service, which was great to see as the sun came up and shine through the stained glass windows. It was great to be able to be up at that time of the morning to see the sun come up and to understand about the resurrection of Christ. It was also great that because right after sunrise service, the ladies of the church had fixed hot cross buns. And those were pretty dang tasty, right out of the oven. And then, of course, right home to get the Easter basket that had been left for us with the chocolate rabbit and jelly beans, and to see what else was in that Easter basket. Maybe a quick rest, and then back to church. And the church was filled, and it was loud and boisterous because everyone was there. And when you sing praise to Hosanna. You praise the resurrection. And then we came to communion. And it gets eerily quiet during communion, because people understand the significance of the Last Supper at that point in time. God sharing his last meal with the disciples, letting them know that he was about to leave them, that he was going to leave this earth, that he was about to die his physical death, but take his rightful place at the right hand of God. He left us these things, the gifts of God for the people of God. Our communion hymn this morning is Come to the Table of Mercy. You'll find it in the Purple Chalice Praise Book. It's number 158, and we will sing through this twice.
Thank you. Tuesday evening as Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. It was a night of solemnity, a night of reflection, and a night of sharing. It was at that point, as they sat at the table, that Jesus took the bread. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Drink of it, all of you." After they had eaten bread, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. Drink of it, each of you." Let us pray.
As we gather here today, Lord, we celebrate with you the triumph of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. We feel the excitement and the joy of the day. But as we stand at your table to partake of the bread and the cup, we remember what was to come just a few short days later. We thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love and terrible sacrifice. Today we feast on the risen Jesus who lifts his hands to bless us. Amen.
Thank you.
Easter is a time to celebrate how God transformed an old story involving separation, violence, and death to a new story of reconciliation, love, and eternal life. It's a powerful story that empowers the faithful around the world to bring about wholeness, forgiveness, and peace. The Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC, needs a new story. The recent story of DRC feeds the status quo of media messaging. All the elements are there: isolation, conflict, violence, death. A new story is being developed that features DRC's opportunities and assets, not just its challenges and needs, to address the widespread poverty. The Community of Disciples of Christ in Congo, or the CDCC, is helping to write this new story about a movement that restores communities, empowers youth, and shares hope, the opposite of the old story. The CDC is a community of faith that understands the connections between combating poverty and protecting the rainforest, between democracy and social justice, and economic development. The CDC is actively replacing the worldview that the media has propagated with a constructive program of peace building by ending hunger and increasing the availability of nutritious foods. The CDC is educating young people in peacekeeping by preparing them to embrace their collective responsibility to engage in solutions today, not just in some distant future. The CDC is establishing a network for peacekeeping through conflict resolution, promoting cooperative economics, and creating a social life among various communities to improve health and access to clean water. New stories, like old ones, are passed along. All of us have the ability to be an alternative to the media narrative by communicating stories of nonviolent resistance and social change. By doing so, we throw off and confound the old stories that would have us fear and distrust one another. We can follow God's example through Jesus Christ to rewrite the narrative by once again making love for humanity the center of the story. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings.
Loving God, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings that we bring to you today. We know that our tithes and offering are small in comparison to your sacrifice that you gave to us. But we know that with your blessing of these tithes and offerings, we can offer love and comfort to everyone who utilizes these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Luke 23, verses 44 through 46, found on page 89 in your Pew Bible and on the screen. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The second reading is from Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60, found on page 33 in your pew Bible. As evening approached, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away.
Well, this morning when I got notice that Cynthia was sick, my first reaction was, where could I find 27 different kinds of pies? And we'd all just eat pie, and every time we went for a different piece, we'd scream, "Hosanna." But after looking at that, I decided that probably wasn't the right way to go. So, if you only came to church on Palm Sunday and Easter, you would know that we wave palms for Jesus riding and returning on his last trip to Jerusalem. We know that he had the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, and we know he was crucified on Good Friday. And that's what we know. We know the story of that time period. But we know, if you read the Bible about it, there was so much more that went on during that time period. That to really understand the story, you really need to look at all the events that occurred during that week. Now, during the Lenten season this year, we've been doing the different stations, and you've seen the posters that are around. Some of you have had the opportunity to color on them to help paint the picture of the stories surrounding this week. Each station gives us a story about what went on at that time. Our first station is sorrow. Matthew in chapter 26 talks to us about Jesus' sorrow. How he took a couple disciples with him to the garden and asked them to stay awake with him, and then he went to pray by himself. You know, it's hard to understand how you could feel when you knew that your time was close. We've all suffered from when we've lost a loved one, and how we felt when we heard the news that their life was going to be shortened when we really didn't think it should be at that point in time. But here was the Son of God about to be put on a cross, and the sorrow that must have been in him was unbearable. It was crushing his life. And he went back out, and he was feeling lonely, and when he went back out, all of his disciples were asleep. Can you imagine how that felt? You had asked them to be with you, and they weren't. They were asleep. And you woke them. And then you went back and prayed. And then you woke them again. And you went back and prayed again. And you asked God. It was his decision, not Jesus's, as to what would transpire. And we went to station number two, the betrayal. He goes back out to where the disciples are. The third time, they're still asleep. He wakes them up. Says, one of you will betray me. They don't believe it. But then at that time, Judas walks in, kisses him on the cheek. And the soldiers and the scoundrels, they grab him, they beat him. One of the disciples takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of an assistant to the high priest. And Jesus asks them to stop. That he had been in the temple teaching love and kindness and prayer. He did not tell them to battle one another. But he was betrayed. Imagine the look on his face when Judas laid that kiss on his cheek. We then move on to station number three. Luke tells us in chapter 22, when it was the next morning, how the high priest and the religious leaders paraded him being bound up so he couldn't do anything in front of Pontius Pilate. They said, here he is, the king of the Jews. Do not let him go. Kill him. Pilate isn't sure what to do. He feels that it's probably not right to what they want to do. But he continues to ask. You know, at that time, religious leaders carried an awful lot of power. And to disobey what they wanted would weaken his kingdom, would weaken his power. So what was he to do? So he kept asking them questions. They kept saying is, we need no more evidence. We know that he is threatening your power. He is threatening our power. He needs to be gone. In Matthew 26, we move to the next station of denial. Now, you've been a disciple of Jesus. You've traveled with him around the country. You've walked with him. You've listened to him pray. You've listened to him teach. You've seen the miracles. And he has told you that you will deny him three times before the rooster crows. And you say, no, it's not me. I would never do that. And then Jesus is taken away. And you're not certain about what to do. And a young girl asks you, says, I believe you're one of them. And he says, no, 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 I'm not. And he moves away, moves to a different area. And then a man sees him by the gate and he says, you're one of them, I know. And he says, no, I am not. And finally, someone else says, you are one of the disciples of Jesus. Your accent gives it away. And he says, leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't even know the man. I don't even know what he looks like. And he proceeds to walk away, and the rooster crows. Imagine that in your minds. How sad it must be to have been so strong, yet so weak. At the fifth station, we hear about judgment. They ask Jesus, the religious leaders, the high priests and that, Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? And he says, you say so. And they say, well, what do you say? He says, nothing. What shall we do? He's really committed no crime. What should we do? He weakens your power. He weakens our power. He threatens our lifestyle, where we have the power. We have the money. He's a humble person, talks about giving to the poor, helping the needy. We can't let this happen. And Pilate says, what shall we do? And Pilate says, I don't know. You know, what shall we do? And the high priest come back and say, kill him, kill him, kill him. And he says, it's typical for us to let someone loose. What, shall we let him go? And the answer was, no, no, no. Another man up there, they parade Barabbas in, a common criminal, a murderer who had killed someone and a potential overthrow of the government. And instead, where Jesus had done no crime, the people said, let Barabbas go. And so Barabbas left. And Jesus stayed. And it was so to be. In Mark chapter 15, we hear about the crowning. We hear how the soldiers took and stripped him of his clothes, put purple cloths on him, put a crown of thorns on his head. They spit on him. They beat him. They knelt in front of him in defiance and said, O King of the Jews, save yourself. Jesus did nothing. He stood there. They took the purple cloth off of him, put his clothes back on him, and prepared him for that journey up the hill. In Station 7, John 19, we hear about the preparation day for Passover. It was noon. Pilate says, here is your king. They shout back to him, kill him, kill him, crucify him. Pilate again says, I am to crucify your king. They said, we have no king except for Caesar. And so Jesus prepared himself for that long walk up to Skull Hill, as we know as Golgotha. A barren hill, nothing living on that hill. At Luke 23, we hear about the helping station. Simon of Cyrene had come from far away. He'd come for the Passover. He was clean. He had probably traveled over 900 miles to get to the holy city to celebrate. The soldiers pull him from the crowd and ask him. Well, they don't ask him. They tell him that he has to carry the cross for Jesus. And he does so. But Jesus walked in front of him, which is another symbol of his love, that Jesus is always with us, always leading us, always showing us the way. At station number 9, we talk about the blessing. In Luke 23, 27 through 31, people are following along. They're weeping. They're crying. The followers of Jesus are, don't do this. Don't do this. Do something. And Jesus says, don't weep for me, but weep for yourself. Somber thoughts. Somber words. At station number 10, we see the crucifixion. If you listen real closely in your mind, you can hear the pounding of the nails through the hands. How that must have hurt. To feel the cross pushed up. Can you hear the cracking of the bones in his legs? So he can't push himself up to gather his breath. Can you hear it? Can you see it? Can you feel it? The two other people that were with him that were being crucified were both criminals. One says, "You're the king, save us now. Save yourself." The other one says, "Be quiet." He committed no crime. He does not deserve this. Will you welcome me to the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, "You will enter with me." At station 12, we hear John chapter 19, verse 24 through 27, talk about the soldiers had left to take care of themselves, to go off and drink and gamble. Jesus' mother, Mary, his aunt, stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus acknowledges his mother. And the disciples now know that that is their mother. In Luke 23, we heard today, "By now it's noon, the whole earth became dark, the darkness lasting 3 hours, a total blackout." Can you imagine the darkest time at night being in the middle of the day? You're not sure what's going on, but you know it is black outside. You know that something is happening that you have never, ever experienced in your life. Jesus says, "Father, I place my life in your hands." Breathes his last breath. At that time, in the temple, the curtain was torn like a broken heart. At station 14, we hear about the burial. Matthew tells us in chapter 27, verses 57 through 60, that they go and they ask for Jesus' body, and they agree to give it to him, and they prepare his body for burial. But they make sure that he's put into a tomb with a large stone so no one can take his body. So no way, no how can he ever get out of there. That was the sole purpose, was to make sure he never got out, no one ever got in, no one ever was ever to do anything with him. And he would be forgotten. So now we've been through all these stations. And we now understand what went on. And we understand the pain and the sorrow and the suffering and the betrayal of people reaching out to help and of sobbing and of committing their life that they actually knew that he was the Son of Man. These stations tell the story. They are sombering, but they remind us of the supreme sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we are all saved, that we have the opportunity to spread the love and the joy that he gave us. So ends the story. Well, the story's not over yet. But if you want to hear about the ending of the story, we'll see you next week. Amen and amen. Amen. Our hymn of dedication this morning is All Glory, Laud, and Honor, found in your hymnal 192. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. If anybody is looking for a church home or wants to commit their life to God, we ask that you come forward during the singing of this hymn. So let us stand and sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 192, verses 1 and 3. Thank you. Reminder, everyone, that this Thursday night, Monday, Thursday service at 7:30, we hope you can attend that. This week at noon at the Methodist Church, we'll be downtown, will be the services at noon every day. Pastor Cynthia is scheduled to preach on Wednesday, and our own Amber French will be directing the choir on Friday. During those services, and there is a light lunch after that for a small donation at the church. So if you need to go there, have the service, and grab a quick bite of lunch before you get back to work, that's available to you. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us have a benediction. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to come today and praise you, to sing your glory, and to understand what went on in the week to come. We ask you to strengthen us with your stories to make sure that we spread the love, the joy, and the hope that you give each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.